Okay, you guys, we're going to tackle the feedback wheel. I know I mentioned this in the training on pattern interrupt, and this is a really big part of, you know, being able to table the hot button issues, or if something really, you know, time sensitive comes up or something that's really pressing that needs to be handled, that you can use the feedback wheel structure to shore up any possibility that things could go off the rails. And that's what's really important in pattern interrupt. Most people at this stage in the game, they're not communicating in a way that's constructive. And so this feedback wheel is basically a tool that you can use. I'm excited to share all about this with you because I have found it to be the single best, most bang for your buck tool that there is. If I could only teach one thing, it would be this. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to just kind of go over what it is essentially, right? And why it works. Then I'm going to share with you the structure. There's a 4-point structure, and I'm going to go into each part of that 4-point structure with you in detail. Then I'm going to give you some guidelines to keep in mind, a couple of examples so that you can really see what that looks like in practice. I will go over some of the common pitfalls to be aware of, the common mistakes that I see people making when they put this into practice. And then there will be some tools that you can use to supplement this learning. So there will be an emotions wheel, there'll be a PDF of the structure, and a cheat sheet and a worksheet that you can use anytime you want to use it. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. First of all, the feedback wheel essentially is a structure of communication that stops you from going back into old patterns. It's a container that keeps you safe, okay? It's basically, put simply, it's a way to share concerns in a non-blaming way. That's important. A lot of people are like, well, how do I bring things up without criticizing or complaining? Or how do I bring things up or make a request in a way that doesn't sound controlling? If you follow this structure, you won't have to worry about that at all. It's a 4-point structure, like I mentioned, that can be used for all communication. This is something that I recommend really guiding all of your communication with your kids, with your friends. It's just incredibly useful. You can even use it just with yourself to clarify and get self-aware, even when you're not going to share. And that's what I was just basically saying in terms of it's a template for your own self-awareness. It's something that you can use when you're journaling or processing stuff that's coming up for you to be able to like dissect it for yourself and gain a greater understanding of what is coming up for me. What meaning am I giving this? What am I feeling and what do I need right now? So it's a really powerful tool. And the reason why it works is that it really allows you to be truthful and authentic and honest without overstepping. So you never have to worry. If you're doing it right, you're automatically in your lane. It greatly increases your partner's ability to hear you, which is one of the best outcomes for this tool. Is, you know, a lot of times when we bring something up and we give feedback, it will sound like a complaint or criticism. We use you statements a lot. We point the finger a lot, even when we're not trying to do that. Even when we're just, coming from a loving place and trying to give constructive criticism, it's a slippery slope. Let's put it that way. So if you use the feedback wheel, you will exponentially increase your chances of being heard. It also clears resentment extremely quickly. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to be able to just clear the air. Maybe even just 5 minutes when you get really good at it. It's something that you can use anytime. It's really quick. And once the both of you understand the structure, it's just like opening the window and getting some fresh air in your relationship. And it's something that you can do to kind of maintain good feelings when things pop up as a way of, you know, not letting things build and build and build until they explode. Also, it ensures that communication is constructive. You're not just bringing up the things that bother you, but you actually have something in place that will allow you to do something different going forward. It creates a safe and loving container, like I mentioned before. Everybody knows their role in the conversation, and there's no blame, really. So each person can feel heard in this setup. It radically increases your own self-awareness. Like I mentioned before, if you're going to have to give feedback and you use this structure, it forces you to really separate things out for yourself. And I'll go into that in detail in just a minute. And one of the best things about this tool is that when you do this right, it really delineates clear boundaries between you and your spouse. It reduces codependency because the way that it works is that when you're giving feedback, you're sharing about yourself. You're not making it so much about the other person. And so it's very clear like whose issue it is, whose story is it, whose feelings are at stake here. It's it's very clear what's going on, and you can hear it without feeling like this is about you, right? Like if you're the recipient of it, you'll be able to take the feedback without feeling like you have to defend yourself, because you see, this isn't my stuff. This is their stuff. But I'm just a caring person and I'm their partner and I want to hear it because I want to know them. And that's what part, this is emotional intimacy. When you have that clear line, it allows you to be a lot more generous, as we're going to be talking about in the boundaries lesson. So the 4-point structure, I'm going to dive into this and go through each part, but just an overview. It's, you know, the 4 points are what happened, which is the trigger. What is the thing that's bothering you? What occurred that you need to give feedback on? What is the meaning that you give that? What is the story? What is the interpretation? How did you feel? How do you feel about that? This is the emotions part. And what do you need? And that's the request. So it looks deceptively simple. It's very nice to have this simple outline. And it will anchor you. If you start to feel a little bit muddy, you come back to this and it will ground you, and you'll be able to see very clearly which things go under which category. But that's the 4-point structure. Let's get into the first thing first. When you talk about the trigger, you have to make sure that you're dealing with facts only. What could be recorded on a video camera? What is it that you're seeing and hearing? And I know that this is such a difficult thing to do for most people. We're always interpreting, and sometimes we don't even notice that we're doing it. You also want to stick to one thing at a time. You don't bring up a pattern. You don't bring up something that happens all the time. You don't bring up a laundry list. And these two things are going to make it so much more manageable and easy to hear. And there's not going to be any arguing about what happened, right? The goal is that this is not something that your spouse can argue with. You want to remove any interpretation whatsoever. So for example, the wrong way to do this would be to say, when I saw that you were ignoring me, the meaning that I gave that, da, da, da. No, this is an interpretation, right? If you were to record that, one person might see that and think, oh, that person is busy. And another person might think that person is sad. And another person might say that person is looking at their phone. But you might be thinking they were ignoring you. See what I'm saying? You just want to stick to the facts. So the right way would be when I saw you looking at your phone. When I saw your head was down and your phone was in your lap and your thumb was scrolling, right? Like something really, really clear that cannot be disputed. That's the first thing with the triggers. Then you can get into the meaning that you make. And this really is everything. This is the thing that separates the people who are successful in transforming their lives from the people that stay stuck, is the ability and capacity to recognize the meaning that you're making out of something. The reason why this is so important is because most of us lump in meaning with feelings. Like, I mean, you might have already heard of the I statement. This is a modified I statement, but the difference is that we're separating the meaning from the feeling. Most people lump that in together. We'll say, well, I just feel like you're not, you know, putting me first. That's not a feeling, that's an interpretation. So the capacity to be able to separate that out is going to be crucial in this program. I will be asking you a lot on the coaching calls and our one-on-ones, what does that mean to you? What is the meaning that that has for you? You're going to get really good at this. And the reason why that's so important is because the meaning that we make directly impacts how we feel. Sometimes we think that it's the trigger that makes us feel a certain way. It's the actions of another that makes us feel a certain way, but it's the meaning that we give that that makes us feel that way. And that's an important thing to not overlook. Also, what's so profound about this is being able to articulate the meaning that you're giving something allows you to observe your interpretations, which is a form of detachment from those reactions, right? So just in the act of observing your interpretations, observing how your mind made meaning out of that, separates you from it, so you have more power over it. Because if you're in it and you're so strongly identified with it as objective truth, and there's no capacity to like look at it from the higher part of your mind, your higher self observing what's happening inside of you, then it's going to rule you. It's going to take over you. It has power over you. It's in the act of observation that we are able to externalize our experience and therefore have power over that experience, to change it, to change the meaning, to pause before reacting. This is where all your power comes. And then once you've been able to identify like the meaning that you gave something or the story that you tell yourself about what just happened, then you can move into your emotions. And for this part, you really want to keep it clean, emotions only. There's not a lot of core emotions. Here are some core emotions I've put out here: anger, fear, pain, joy, passion, love, shame, guilt. And then a lot of more nuanced emotions are going to fall under these categories, like frustration would fall under anger, anxiety or powerless might fall under fear, hurt will fall under pain. But just get really tuned into what is it that you're actually feeling, and there will be an emotions wheel that you can look at that will help you, because sometimes we just don't know. And if we haven't been taught, if nobody ever held space for us to do that, or if we were never taught to name our emotions, or if we were actually taught to not ever have emotions, then you're not going to know necessarily. So this might take practice. The other thing you want to do is try to lead with your vulnerable emotions, which is always the hardest thing. But it's so important, because especially a lot of us will lead with anger or frustration. Those are more like fiery emotions. Those are more defended emotions. Those emotions defend against the more vulnerable, soft emotions underneath it. So if you think about anger, usually when you go deeper, you realize it really comes from hurt, or it really comes from fear. And those are more vulnerable emotions. So lead with the vulnerable emotions if you tend to default to anger as your first emotion or your only emotion. Okay. And I will add to this, if you're somebody who tends to lead with the more disempowered emotions like hurt, if you're always feeling hurt and you're not in touch with any of the more fiery emotions, then I would try to go against your default, because this is all about pattern interrupt. Lead with your anger, lead with your frustration, you know, lead with your upset, and whatever your default is, you want to go against that. Okay. This is a little bit more nuanced. This is a little bit more picky. If you're not really sure what I'm talking about, or if you find that this is making you feel overwhelmed or confused, don't worry about this second part. Just focus on the first part for now. Okay. And also for this part, in when you're talking about your feelings and your emotions, there's a very slippery slope that goes from feelings into interpretation. So be aware of interpretation. So for example, if you say, I feel really disrespected, or I feel really ignored, or I feel invisible, those are not emotions. Those are interpretations. I know that that sounds really picky, but it's so important to distinguish between the two, right? Because so much of this work is unraveling the meaning making and changing our core beliefs. Okay. So, and also getting really in touch in our bodies with what our emotions are. This might take practice. And then the final part of the feedback wheel is moving into what you need. So this is the request. This is where it gets to be constructive. I love this part. You want to ask yourself, if you're the one giving feedback, what is it that would make me feel better? What do I need from the other person? It has to be something that's in the present moment. So, you know, if they're asking, well, what can I do? And you're like, well, you should have done that last week. It's already too late. That's not constructive. You know, if what you need is something that should have happened last week, that doesn't count. You cannot use that in this. You might be tempted to do that because you're really frustrated and you're really wanting to globalize this trigger into a history. But it's super important to be able to identify, like, well, what is it that would really honestly make me feel good? It could be anything. It could be a commitment to be more aware in the future, right? A commitment to pay attention, a commitment to be on time. It could be an acknowledgement or an apology. You might just need an apology. You might just need an expression of understanding. Sometimes that's enough, just to feel truly understood. Or it might be an agreement to do something in the future, an agreement to sit down and do a budget meeting or help the kids. Or it might just be, I need a hug. I just needed you to listen and to have a hug. That's it. So really have a think about that. If you don't know what you need, then you really shouldn't be giving feedback, because it's not going to be constructive, and you have to give your spouse a chance to win, and you have to give yourself the chance to actually clear the resentment and feel better. And this is so important. The whole entire point of doing the feedback wheel is to get repair. It's to clear the air. It's to feel better. It's to feel like you can turn the page and move on and remove any obstacles to feeling close to, or at least in a place of peace with, your spouse. But the good news is you get to decide, even though it might be a challenge sometimes, because I ask people, so what do you need right now? And they don't know. Or they might say something really vague, like, I just need them to be more supportive. I need my spouse to be more supportive. Well, what does that look like? How would they know that that was what would have to be happening for you to know that they were being supportive? Because what's supportive to you might be different than what's supportive to me. But you get to decide. So think very carefully. Do a brainstorm on it if you're not really sure. And really be guided by this question. If they give that to me, will I feel good enough to say, okay, fine, I can turn the page on this. I feel repaired. And if you can't say yes, then you haven't arrived at the right thing yet. So this is trickier than it seems. Now, some people know exactly what they need and some people don't. You'll feel this out and you'll get the hang of it, you know, where your areas are for growth. And I'm here to support you if you have any questions. So here's a couple of examples just so you can see this in action. This is what it might look like. This is the trigger part. When I heard you say to our son, what's your problem? And your voice was raised. So notice that it's very like specific in terms of what the words were that were spoken and that the voice was raised. Instead of saying, when I heard you being rude to our son, or when I heard you being sarcastic to our son, or when I heard you yelling at our son, those are interpretations. So this is very like, you can't really argue with this. When I heard these words come out of your mouth with a raised voice, that's the trigger. The way that I interpreted that was that you're judging him and that he's going to feel bad about his emotions. So this is the story. I could go on too. I could be like, the way that I, you know, the meaning that I give that is that you are hurting his feelings and you're ruining your connection with him and you're creating a culture in our home of not being safe with our emotions, or you're damaging him, or you never listen to me because we've talked about this before. It could be anything. It could be, this is where you can fit in a you statement, because you've already owned that it's your story. You know, you're not 100%. You're not doubling down like it's objective reality. Then you move into the feelings. How I felt was scared. I was scared that he won't want to share his negative emotions with us in the future, scared that we won't feel safe to him. And that makes me sad too. So scared and sad are the emotions here. Now, you don't even have to say scared about the thing in particular. You could just say, I felt scared, I felt frustrated, and I felt sad. But sometimes it's nice to just say like what you're scared of, what you're hurt about, to give a little bit of a reason so that they can really understand what's at stake for you. But it's not to be disputed. It's really just, you've already acknowledged that your feelings are the result of your story. Does that make sense? Then for the request, it could be something like, could you please be more curious in the future if he's upset? Now, if I left it there and I said, could you please be more curious in the future? That might not be specific enough. Well, what does that look like? So here I'm giving examples. You could help him name his emotions first to connect when he's upset, and then offer to help him. That would be something that would help me feel like you have, you know, that you're doing things differently, that you've taken my feedback, that you've considered me. So this is basically asking for an agreement or a commitment for the future. Another example would be, when I saw you made plans with your friends on Saturday, like when I saw that on the, let's say I saw that on the shared calendar, or I heard you on the phone making those plans, the meaning that I gave that, or the story I tell myself, is that you don't remember that we talked about dinner that night. Or that you blew off, I could say it, you blew off that we were going to have dinner that night and that you're not prioritizing our time together. I could go on and say, the meaning that I give that is that this is what you always do, that you never listen, because I've already said this is the meaning that I give it, right or wrong. I could be wrong, but that's where my mind goes. How I feel is disappointed and hurt and scared that you're just not that into me anymore. What would help me is if you could share with me your thought process around making those plans. You know, that's a request that could help you feel better, I guess, in the sense of, if you understood their thought process, you would understand that it wasn't personal, right? Not, you're not asking now. As I wrote this, I was thinking like, you don't want to be asking from the place of, share with your thought process so that I can pick it apart and argue with it, right? It's not a rhetorical question. It truly is coming from a place of, I want to understand because I think it will help me feel better. And the specific request of, let's make a solid plan for a date with me, you know, to make up for that, because that was supposed to be our dinner. So that would be an example of a very clear request. Now, the guidelines that you have to follow are that you have to have an agreement to give feedback. So part of this, you know, there's a lot of things going into this being successful. Once you get it dialed in, this might seem a lot like a lot, okay? But I promise you, once it becomes second nature, after just practicing it a few times, it's going to change everything for you. But the first and one of the hardest things is that you have to have an agreement to give feedback. So let's say you've got some burning feedback, but let's say your spouse is really exhausted. They just came home and they didn't sleep well the night before. They're already grumpy and you ask them, hey, I have some feedback for you. Would this be a good time? They have the right to say no. No, I really can't handle that tonight. I don't think I have what it takes. Let's do it tomorrow. So you really have to, you know, set it up for success. If you insist upon having the feedback, giving the feedback and forcing them to listen when they're not ready, you're setting it up to fail. So it's very important to be strategic about this. You also have to agree that it's a one-way street. So the person who is giving the feedback, it's a one-way street for them. The person who's receiving the feedback is going to receive what they have to say, and they're listening to what they have to say, and it's not their turn to share their story or their feelings or what they think happened. So if you're the recipient of feedback and you've agreed to receive feedback, you're agreeing to it being a one-way street, meaning I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to respond to you, and I'm not going to bring my stuff into this at all. I'm not going to do tit for tat. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to explain myself. I'm not going to bring anything else into it. This is for you, right? That's really what the one-way street means. The other guideline, and this was super hard for me, you have to limit it to 2 sentences for each section max. I used to make mine really long sentences, but honestly, this is going to be something that's going to make it more digestible and more successful. So it doesn't mean you have to have 2 emotions only or 2 interpretations or stories. You can have more than one emotion or more than one interpretation, but you just want to limit it to 2 normal length sentences that you could speak. And the person that's listening would be able to track it. Because if it gets to be too long, the other person can't track it. The other guideline is that the listener paraphrases before responding. So once you've given feedback, you've gone through step 1, the trigger, you've gone through step 2, the meaning, step 3, the feelings, step 4, the request, the listener will now paraphrase what they heard you say about those things. And you want to try to hit all 4 points. As you're listening, if you're the one listening, you're listening for the trigger and the meaning and the story, you know, and the feelings and the request. And then once you've paraphrased it, let's say you don't get it right. Let's say you miss something. There was something really important that got missed. You say, did I get that right? The person who gave you the feedback can say, no, that's not quite it. And then they can correct it. And then you paraphrase it again. You paraphrase it as many times as needed until the person giving feedback feels like you really understood it. And then you get to respond. And then when you respond, you're going to be as generous as possible. And this is really important because you might not be able to give everything, or your spouse not be able to give everything that you're asking for. But if you come into it with a spirit of generosity, looking for what you can give, as opposed to leading with what you're not going to be able to give, you're going to get a lot more out of this. Okay, so I'm trying to think of an example. One time I asked my husband in the feedback wheel if he could acknowledge that his intentions were, and I don't even remember what it was, but that his intentions were something. And because I really thought that he was not being honest with me about his intentions. And I wanted him to own his intentions. And it was based on the past. And so what he did was he said, I can't say that because that wasn't my truth. That wasn't true for me. But what I can do is I can own that that used to be the case. I have done that before. So I can understand why you would think that. And I'm definitely going to, I promise you that I won't do that anymore, that I'll be really upfront about what my intentions are. I'll be transparent about what my intentions are. So he couldn't give me what I wanted, but he could give me the spirit of what I wanted. Or if what you really want is a hug and they are just too upset to give you a hug, but they would be willing to say, I'll give you a hug later after I cool off, or something. You want to try to lead with what can I give as opposed to what I'm not going to do, right? And then finally, your roles are clear, which I've touched on already. The role of the person giving the feedback is to truly articulate what they want to say using the 4-point structure, following the guidelines, and coming in with a clear request for the listener to be successful. And the listener's role is to hold space, allow it to be a one-way street, not get defensive, and to give through the lenses of love and looking at your spouse and thinking, you know what, this is the person that I love. This is the person that I want to have a good relationship with. And my job in this conversation is to repair and to clear out hurts. And I'm doing this for them right now. That's my role, right? Then you can always switch later, but I don't recommend doing it the same day. If you are listening to feedback and you're like, oh my God, this is so loaded. There's so much here. There's so much that I want to say about like how I looked at the situation that they're giving feedback on, table it, write it down, bring it up tomorrow and put it into your own feedback wheel. But you don't want it to be like, here's my feedback wheel. And now it's their feedback wheel. And it's like tit for tat. We don't want to do that. And then the most common pitfalls that I want to just have you be aware of, because in doing this, like I've given people the 4-point structure and a few of the guidelines, but there's common things that I've noticed that have cropped up where people will come back to me, or whether I'm doing it with them live or whether they've done it on their own, and then they come back and they report to me what's happened. And so I want to share with you what these are. There's 8 common mistakes that people make that I want you just to kind of get ahead of and be aware of. Now, if you make one of these mistakes, it's not the end of the world. It's normal. It does take time to practice, but I want you to be familiar. So number one is that the interpretation ends up bleeding into the trigger, which is part one, or the feelings, which is part three. Anything that's an interpretation needs to stay in part two. So for example, like I already gave you an example of an interpretation in part one, right? Where you would say, when you were rude to me or when you were ignoring me, that would be an interpretation bleeding into part one. Interpretation bleeding into part three would be, how I feel is that you're never there for me. That's not a feeling. Or how I feel is completely invisible and disrespected. Again, that's interpretation. So that's important to be aware of. That is a tricky thing. The second thing is not being clear with your spouse about what you need now so that they can help you feel better. A lot of times it's very general. And so your spouse might actually not be able to give you what you want because they're not really even clear on what you're saying or what that would actually look like. And then they're scared that they're going to fail. And then they hesitate. And then you start to think, oh my gosh, they're not even willing to give this to me. But it's because they don't really know what that means. So I'm trying to think of an example, like, you know, if your request is, I want you to be more aware of me. I want you to be more tuned into me. You have to be really clear about, well, what does that exactly look like? Because they might feel like they already are. And so then they will feel like they can't give that to you. So you have to be as specific as possible. Also, a common mistake is that you don't get agreement from the other person. It's the wrong timing that I touched on before. This is hard if you're really pissed off or you're feeling urgent about it. You're in a place of like urgency and ruminating. It's tempting to want to just blow past that and be like, I'm just going to wing this. But it's really an invitation for it not to go well. And then that is inviting the old story, and it's not pattern interrupt. Now, if you are an avoidant person, pattern interrupt would be being very proactive in setting up a feedback wheel. You still have to follow and get the agreement, of course. And if your default mode is that you're high conflict, the pattern interrupt would be to be very, very sparing with when you bring up a feedback wheel. If you're not sure about that, then just check with me. Another mistake is that people make it way too long, or they lump in a bunch of other things. When you did this, 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 and this, when you did this against this backdrop of like all these other things that you did this week, when all these things happened, right? You don't want to do that. And you don't want to have too much story under the interpretation part, because then the person gets flooded. There's too many things to try to track and respond to. We want to keep it really clean. If you feel like there's too much, then just separate them out and you can make different feedback wheels. You might find that you're trying to put 3 into one. The other mistake is that the receiver of the feedback starts to explain or take issue with the meaning made. So if you're hearing their meaning making, or you're hearing their trigger and you're like, I don't think that's what happened, and you start to explain or take issue or defend or saying that's not what happened or here's what was really going on, and you feel like you can't even go on with it because you're not agreeing with the premise, that's a mistake. Now, if your spouse isn't doing it right, and you know there could be some things that are coming up that are making it really difficult to just hear that, if that's the case, let me know and we'll try to break it down and see, you know, where did it go awry? Because it can go awry in the delivery or it can go awry in the receiving. But in this mistake is really where you feel that urge to argue with what they're saying and what their perceptions were. The other thing you want to make sure is that you're very explicit. If you're giving feedback, that your meaning is a story, right or wrong. Sometimes people skip past that and they just go right into it and they don't say, you have to say, the meaning that I give that, or this is where my brain went, this is what my mind did, this is how it landed for me, this is the interpretation that I gave it, this is how I heard it, right or wrong. You have to give that disclaimer to reduce defensiveness in the person that's listening. Does that make sense? And I actually like saying right or wrong. The story that I tell myself, or the way I hear that right or wrong is, because then I'm basically giving myself an out. Like, there's nothing for them to argue with. It's just what my meaning is. You can't argue with me about the meaning that I give something. I'm telling you what meaning I made out of it. There isn't anything to argue with. You might have a different meaning, but this isn't your turn. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's really what I'm getting at here. The other thing that people do is they get hung up on the formality of this structure. A lot of times people are like, I don't want to do the feedback wheel because it's so formal. It just feels so awkward. It feels so mechanical. It doesn't feel natural. And I just think people have to get over that, to be honest with you, because first of all, anything that you're learning new is going to be mechanical. It's going to be awkward. Any new tool, any new thing you ever learn in life is first awkward. So you have to give yourself permission for that. The second thing is that you don't have to use the words that I'm giving. You don't always have to say the story that I tell myself is. You can use your own words. You can make it your own. But the point is that you're separating out what you're communicating into those four things. You can, and when you get good at this, you just sound like you talking. You just sound like you talking. You don't look like you're going into some like, you know, now I'm going to enter into this alternate reality and start sounding like a robot. It might feel weird at first, but it just works. It just really, really, really works. So any discomfort that you have around that, or feeling like this isn't your authentic self, it's just not true. It's just a structure that allows you to be more authentic, because you get to say exactly what bothered you. You get to say exactly what was going on for you, exactly what the meaning was for you, exactly how you feel and what you need. There's no way to be more transparent than that. There's no way to be more authentic and genuine and honest than that. So the discipline that it takes to communicate it in the structure, what feels hard about that is not moving into you statements, is separating out the meaning from the feelings. And those are things that you have to do to own your part and to stay in your lane and to have healthy communication. That's just what it takes. So if you're not willing to get past that, then you're not really willing to enter into healthy communication. You're hanging on to something else. You're hanging on to your comfort zone somehow, and you're making that more important. So that's something I just want to say at the outset. The other thing that I think, and this is the last common pitfall, is that there's a lack of gratitude for healthy feedback. So in other words, there's a tendency, especially when people come into this program, because there's a history that brought you here, there's a tendency to hear the feedback in not the most loving light and to not recognize that it's actually a gift. If your spouse is trying to communicate using the feedback wheel, you should be grateful, because what that means is they are being conscious and mindful to stay in their lane, to own their stuff, to not project it onto you, to be clear in giving you what you need to be successful in repairing. It is a gift. So often we do our spouse a disservice because we're not clear. We figure if we have to be explicit, then they don't really care about us. If I have to be explicit, if I have to tell you, then we have a problem. You're just supposed to know. Right? Maybe you've been on the receiving end of that and feeling like it's a no-win situation. It's a gift when you can be clear. It's a gift that your spouse is sharing themselves with you. It's a gift when they're willing to be vulnerable with you and literally open the door to their mind and their heart and give you the keys to what's going to make things right. So if you're resisting that, you really want to look and go, okay, why am I resisting that? Why don't I want to be generous? Why am I not able to take this with gratitude? And usually it's going to be something like resentment. It might be a history of criticism. It might be that you really can't hear it through the present moment lens. You're listening to it through the old lens like we talked about before. But please be grateful. And if you're nervous, if you're giving the feedback and you're scared of giving the feedback, because you're worried that they're not going to like it, your spouse isn't going to like it, or they're going to get mad, or they're going to feel defensive, or they're going to feel hurt, just remember this. Remember that it's a gift to them. You know, a healthy relationship is one in which each person honors the other person and wants to be close to the other person and wants to be the one who they share themselves with. If you go through this program and you unravel everything and we build all the foundation and you come out the other side and your spouse isn't really wanting to hear what you have to say in your feedback wheels, then we have a larger problem. But I want you guys to really just try to do this as much as you can. I will be modeling this on the group coaching calls. This is something you guys can send me in writing if you need some tweaks. This is going to be a foundational tool that we come back to again and again in this program. And remember that it's going to feel vulnerable. It's going to feel scary. What if I do this and I do it perfectly and my spouse doesn't respond in the right way, or they don't give me what I'm asking for, or they don't treat that with gratitude? That might happen. But the win is that you did the feedback wheel. The win is not determined by your spouse's response to it. The win and the celebration is that you use the structure, okay? And I really do believe that in time, if your spouse isn't receptive to it the first couple times, they will. You just, this is something that we're literally just paving the path to that healthy, open communication. And it might just take one little stone at a time. And so focus on your input and not the out. All right, you guys, that is it. So my final piece of advice is to use it. You have to use it. It's not going to work if you don't use it. And I really do believe that if you put all of your communication through this structure, if you use these distinctions to organize your communications, not only are you going to get forced basically to understand yourself better and to know what you need, you are going to have healthier relationships, like not just with your spouse, but all the way around in every relationship in your life. And remember that it's your responsibility to give feedback. If you are noticing that you're blocking connection basically because you're pissed, or if you notice that there's, you know, something has come up for you and now your spouse is trying to connect or hang out or make a bid for connection and you're not able to join it because you're hanging on to something, this is something that's your responsibility to bring up. If you're the one that has the problem, if you're the one that has the feedback, it's your job to bring that up. Now, that said, at this stage, pattern interrupt, remember, this is for emergencies only. But in general, what I tell people, as you know, as we go through the phases and the modules and you come towards the end of the program, a rule, you know, that I ask people to live by is to keep, you know, to have integrity with themselves and keep their own house clean. So always asking yourself the question, is there anything that's happening inside of me that is blocking closeness with my spouse? And if there is, then I'm not doing anybody any favors by keeping it to myself. So for those of you that are avoidant, this is going to be a big challenge. But you're off the hook for now with pattern interrupt. So I hope that helps you guys. I look forward to your questions. Be sure to reach out if you have any questions about that in the group, or if you want to send me your feedback wheels that you're preparing, go ahead and email me, or even better yet, post it in the group so other people can learn as well if you're comfortable doing that. And I look forward to seeing you guys inside the next lesson.